Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNet Speed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the engineers and owners of Tab Computer Systems, now that we're 100% employee owned, which is kind of cool. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we are hiring. We're always hiring.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so hard to find good geeks. Feel free to go to our website at tabinc.com, the careers page. And, you know, if you want to be an owner.
Yeah, no better time than the present.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty unique scenario to have, you know, your ability to be an owner of the company and actually
have a stake.
A stake in kind of, you know, your destiny is a little different. When you have
true.
A stake. So
it's very true.
It's very good. All right. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I'm not sure what you guys are doing this morning. I know it's flipping cold outside, so you're not outside, but we're here to help you out on the inside. Now, if you're trying to figure out how to get your crypto miner working on Norton 365 LifeLock, you know, we can help you with that as well. I brought that up last time. I mean, that talk about jumping the shark. If you're literally put your load without the customer asking for it, crypto miner, and it's really hard to get rid of. You have to opt in to have it run.
Yeah, and you actually have to delete a file, I believe, in order to kill it.
To kill
completely.
It. But you got to be jumping the shark. I mean, actually, think of it. Speaking of Radio Shack, you know, the answer people, right? I remember we'd had them, we talked about them all the time on the show because they always had great stuff and they would connect things up. They're getting into Bitcoin. They're like a, what do you call them? An exchange or something like that. Radio Shack.
Well, they were the cell phone case accessory store for a
while.
Yeah,
they were.
Oh, yeah.
And the antenna store. Now, I guess, I mean, to reinvent yourself as a crypto exchange, I mean, it's crazy. And then you look at Kim Kardashian, right? She came up with a coin, and of course, they did a pump and dump, and now she's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if
mm-hmm.
anybody can make a coin, guys, can I sell you a bridge? I mean, I hear a picture of a bridge these days is actually worth more as a non-fungible whatever token. instead of in the old days, if I sell you the bridge, I'm going to take a picture of it, and then you're going to buy it from me as a non-fungible token. And I'll make $1 million on that picture. I mean, a sucker's born every day, and that's a P.T. Barnum thing, right? Well, it's Connecticut, right? I mean,
yeah.
Come on, guys. So you wanted to bring up a news story before
oh,
we went
yeah.
on before one of my crazy rants.
And speaking of crypto,
oh yeah,
we have a ransomware attack
yeah.
that has taken out a lot of information systems in Bernalillo, I think that's how it's pronounced, mm-hmm. county in New Mexico. That's where Albuquerque is.
Okay.
And because of that attack, they have a lot of systems down. Most of the county offices are closed. Because they're not bringing people in to do anything. They can't do anything.
And
schools were closed on Thursday and Friday.
What?
Yeah.
They can't teach because the internet's out or something like that? Come on, guys.
I'm not here to explain it. I'm just telling you what the articles tell me. The other problem is that because of this outage, one of the prisons was hit. And a lot of their control systems and surveillance systems are all computerized. And guess what? Yeah. They ain't working.
They can't open the doors by the push of a button. They have to use the old keys. Oh, man.
And I guess some of their camera systems are completely out now, or
that doesn't sound like
inaccessible in certain areas. So they've got some problems, and that actually takes them out of compliance with a court directive that they're subject to, because apparently the ability to release doors on a certain schedule is part of this agreement.
Right.
And because that doesn't take place without the computers to control that automated system, they're out of compliance, and they're going to, if this continues much longer, they're going to get in trouble over that.
Well, are they? So this is the thing, right? I talked about it even with Final Sight. I mean, you need to pay for redundant systems. You need to understand, what's a disaster? So if you're a prison, somebody, the main guy there needs to sit down or gal and figure out, what's a disaster if I'm a prison? Would it be if all my cameras didn't work and I couldn't open the doors? I guess that would probably be a disaster. Clearly, they haven't come up with a disaster recovery to mitigate what would occur if that happened.
And that is something that I just see in so many places.
People,
they have backups.
Right.
They do this. They do that. They have software that prevents attacks.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have antivirus. They may even have, monitor detect.
Enhanced response type of stuff. Yeah, EDR.
And all of that stuff. They may have all of that stuff in place.
Right.
But if something actually breaks and they have to get another computer up and running, or they have to restore the one that they've got, they don't know how long that takes or what's involved in doing that.
Right.
Because they've never tried it. They've never tested it.
And that's the thing, too. If you remember back to the old snowstorm we had in October, right? And we were down for a week, and then all the cell towers were starting to have issues, and our communications were going out, and then everyone – the gas stations didn't have any ability to pump gas because they didn't have generators. Obviously, there's a failure of imagination there, right? What happens if we're down for a week? What are we going to do? Now we know. You should have a generator at a gas station. You should have generators available for your cell towers. We know that. Do we really think we haven't seen cloud outages before, ransomware attacks before? It's not. I mean, you have to literally be born yesterday to not know it's going to happen. So these institutions that are not putting up backups or redundant systems so that they can actually operate if you had a disaster. You know, all the principals out there, when they had to deal with the Final Sight outage, did they have a mailing list that they were maintaining, or a secondary way to communicate with their parents? Or did they put all their eggs in the worry-free basket of the Googleplex? I think they would put it. They put them all there in their basket.
Well, after all, it is a worry-free basket,
exactly.
Right? Hey, you don't have to worry about it. It just works.
Right. And then you get the UK looking at folks saying, we really need to look at the resiliency of cloud technologies because they keep going down. So here's another example. Schools closing. The jail doesn't work. I mean, you can't go into the government agencies to
generic administrative offices are shut down because of it,
right.
You know? Come on.
Right. So if you're not going to get rid of cryptocurrency, I don't know why you're not. If you did that, you'd take care of this problem rather quickly. But if you're not going to do that, because you need to do a better job on your resiliency. And define a disaster. What is a disaster to your company? You know, 4 days of an outage, that would be a disaster for most companies.
It would.
Let's go to Jim in Unionville next. What's happening, Jim?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm looking to update my router and my cable modem and my router.
Sure.
I currently have a Linksys. I would say this stuff's maybe 3 years old. It's a dual band, 1.9 gigabits per second.
Wow.
The issue I'm having is coverage. When I looked it up, it only covers about 1,500 square feet, and I'm using an Aeris 6190. And someone had told me that Aeris has had a lot of problems with those, and that might help me understand why I'm dropping my internet every now and then. So I'm looking at the Netgear Orbi. It says Wi-Fi 6, tri-band, 4.2 gigabits, 5,000 square foot. It comes with one satellite. You know, in the long run, for maybe $30 to $40 more than what I would spend on these two separate devices, I could just have like the all-in-one and then have the satellite for better coverage. It's more updated. What do you guys think of feedback on them?
Sure. So there's a lot of questions going on there. You're getting dropping, right? So
right.
one of the biggest snags. I even had it in my home, my own configuration, right? I'm a geek too. I had the own, I try to limit how many IP addresses my device hands out for security reasons. I don't know. I mess with that stuff. I limited my security too much because there's so many devices on my network now that the leases were expiring and they weren't giving out a new lease to the next device. And of course, the girlfriends and the whatever friends who were over, they're all mad at Dad. Why are you getting dropped? Because I wasn't giving them enough IP addresses. Now, I doubt that's the case in your case, but my point is
I'm not that technical. I'm
well,
just
right.
Off the test.
That's fair, but my point is there's a lot involved in this, right? So you brought up the modem. The modem is going to deliver whatever bandwidth you get from the internet provider, right?
Right.
So if you've got a good modem, we're going to assume it's good, and you're getting your bandwidth. The router itself then has to then deliver it to your home. And depending on how big your home is, you were kind of alluding that 1,200 square feet was not big enough. I mean, do you live in like a 5,000 square foot home?
I wish. No. My house is only maybe just about 2,000, but it's just the way I guess it's designed. It's an older home,
yeah.
You know. It's got, you know, the material is, you know, probably more difficult to go through than, you know, today's, you know,
yeah.
Style home.
Where do you locate your router? Is it in the middle of your home, right next to your coffee pot, or is it down in the basement?
No, it's upstairs. It's on an armoire in the living room, so
All right. It's
about a foot and a half from the ceiling. So I'm trying to make it as central to the whole house as possible.
That's actually a pretty good spot.
Yes. Yeah, you always want it to be high because for whatever reason, Wi-Fi likes to go down. Think of it as it has gravity.
I didn't ever thought of that.
Yeah, it's true. Well, you know.
I learned something on my own show. That's good. So you've got it in the right spot. So it could simply be that the radios that are in your router are just tired. And that does happen too. They're broadcasting... Yeah. The radios, right?
Yeah.
And they're broadcasting in multiple frequencies. Do you have anybody in your neighborhood that's close by? Is there other homes that maybe are also using the same channels you are? Those frequencies can bang
into
each other.
I mean, I've got a decent amount of space, but when I look at other networks to connect to, obviously I'm seeing there, so it, you know, must be within range.
So there's an app out there called Wi-Fi Man by Ubiquiti, and it's a free app. And we'll put a link up there for you if you want. You put it on your phone. And you can play around with checking out the strength and the channels that are seen by wherever you're standing, right, when you're doing that Wi-Fi man test. So it could just simply be that you need to choose different channels because if all of you guys are kind of novices and you all chose the same channel, you're banging into each other. That could be part of your problem too. So before you buy a new router, maybe choose some other channels that are more free and see if you get a better response. So download the Wi-Fi man. And go ahead and have your phone right there, and just you'll see how well you're doing as far as the dBs that you're getting, how strong they are. They'll be in the green or the red. It makes it pretty easy, and maybe make some adjustments there before you buy one. If still after you've done some adjustments, you're still having the issues, then yeah, buy a new one because they do get tired. They're broadcasting radio signals. They're made in China. What do you want?
Yeah, no, it's good to know. I don't have that many devices connected, you know, a few Google Homes, and it's just my wife and myself now. The kids are gone, so it's not like we have an overabundance of other, you know, things connecting. It's just, you know, as we're all working from home, it's kind of a pain if in the middle of the day we're on a conference call and, you know, out of nowhere we dropped internet and constantly rebooting.
Well, wait a minute, Jim. So is it you or is it the service? So there's a lot more involved here. When you're connecting to a conference call, it could be the host of the conference that has the issue, not you, right? You know, and you the only way to know that is if you do like a test to see if you're still connected. If everything's dead, then yes, you dropped. But if you can still go ahead and surf on your cell phone on the Wi-Fi, it's not you.
Yeah, no, I've tried that. I mean,
okay.
When I ask the Google, you know, something, it'll just say it can't get to the internet. My wife, who works at home, different calls and stuff is also like, hey, there I am restarting everything.
Yep, so then that's true. Then you did have an outage. It also could be, though, now your internet company, too. It may not be the router. It could be the service provider. You could have a problem on the pole. Is it cable? Is it DSL? What do you have for service?
I have Xfinity cable, and I recently had them out for a second time in 2 years to check it, and they checked it. The wire's good. Everything's signal. I bugged them to death, and all their tests that they're performing say everything is good. So that's why I feel like it's pointing to maybe my equipment.
Yep. So it's an easy thing to swap out. We're going to trust the cable company right now. All right.
Yep.
And then you're going to buy a new router. And if you still have the same problem, it's their fault.
There you go.
I mean, you changed it out. You're going to be like, hey, guys, I got new equipment, and it's still dropping. Your service is the problem.
Right.
And then they'll miraculously find some sort of problem on a pole. I'm telling you, we've seen it so many times. Like
it happens more, much more than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to trust them, right? Because you just don't have time to not trust them. But heck,
yeah, exactly. It's what you pay for, right?
Well, the thing here, I'll give you an example. I own a condo, and they had to disconnect the internet service, literally from the building, from the pole. And of course, once they did some work and they did their things, we said, hey, can you guys reconnect our service? Well, we'll send a guy out there. I said, well, make sure he's got a bucket truck, because I'm literally looking at the wire. It's on the ground. It's not connected. Oh, okay, sir. The guy comes out, of course, even after I've told them and begged them, he goes, I can't do this. I'm like, I know you can't. I know you have to tell them what I told them, right? So, I mean, they're following some flow chart where somehow a novice like me can't see a wire. They don't trust that I can't even see a wire, right? That's what you're dealing with. So change out your hardware, yep. See if it works. A couple $100, you know, router device would be the way to go. Linksys, Netgear, we've talked about others. We can put some examples out there if you want.
We could. The one thing that I'm going to tell you is, especially if you go to talk to people like at Best Buy or whatever, they're always going to talk up these mesh router systems.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, I'm pretty sure Eric agrees, a lot of this stuff is kind of bleeding edge,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't necessarily perform as well as is often claimed. And in most cases for a home, you're better off having one Wi-Fi router.
Right.
You might have to buy one that's a little higher powered than normal. But you're better off having that one source, and then you control that, and you know what it's doing, you know where it's located, and you can always troubleshoot it. If you get a mesh system, and then you find out that you're dropping, well, is it the main access point? Is it the satellite?
Right.
Is it because they're not talking to each other,
more
and
variables.
They think that you're on one and you're not on the other? There's just too many variables that get thrown into the works.
Yeah.
So don't be oversold on these.
All right,
Jim? I'm saying.
I appreciate the feedback because, you know, I didn't want to go to come places like that and that's why I called you guys, you know, because I just wanted honest feedback. And, you know, look, they got sales to make, but you're right. It was one of my first fears about the mesh system is like, well, what if?
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, the worst case scenario is I unplug the satellite and just go with that one, you know, the main router, cable modem all in one and see what happens. So,
yeah, get them separate, the modem and the router, and then you should be good. All right, Jim?
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we're on the old Facebooks here where Mark Zuckerberg deems us worthy. You can catch us over at WTIC's Facebook page. Feel free to post a comment or question there, too. We'll get it on the air. We'll be right back.
Did you miss Computer Talk with Tab on Saturday? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out. Four lines wide open. Joey is taking some calls. And as we wait for you, I don't know if you had this in your stack of stuff there, Dennis, but there's that SysJoker exploit.
Oh, yes.
It actually crosses multiple OSs from Windows to Mac and Linux, and it went undetected for a long time. You have that story?
I do. I have a story on that. It's very interesting how this works in order to become cross-platform.
Right.
It's embedded in a module that is then used by driver developers and other kinds of developers.
Yep.
And they include them in their software packages that are then compiled for Mac or Linux or Windows.
Right. So the commonality is the drivers because all these softwares are written on, are used on similar platforms, whether card, video card.
And it's an authoring module that they use that they include when they compile these.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a common thing. So apparently, it's a great way for the malware writers to get their malware out to a million places because driver developers are happily shoving their malware into all their stuff because they don't know any better.
Right. They didn't know it was even happening.
And this goes back to the LogForge problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a big open source project.
Right.
That anyone can contribute to, theoretically.
The Apache open source.
Yeah. And, you know, it has, in the case of LogForge, it had an exploit that was never sealed up and went back how many years?
At least a decade.
Yeah. But everybody in the world, including all the big tech companies, are using this stuff to create their software for whatever functions.
They're too lazy to buy their own to do it themselves.
Right. They don't want to develop their own logging code. So they go and get this stuff.
You know what it is from? I just popped in. It's Napster. Basically, whoever's doing this coding grew up for Napster and figured, well, if we can steal music, we'll just steal code. Why write it ourselves? You know, why pay for the music when we can just steal it? Why write the code if we can just... Somebody else did it for me. I'll move on and slap it into my system.
Well, it's a major liability in the entire software world.
Yes, it is.
We've got open source stuff that can be exploited by malware authors, and their stuff can get everywhere.
These are big trillion-dollar companies that are using it.
And there are no controls on it. Nobody's checking it.
Right. Again, we know how the sausage is made, and this is why we don't sleep much as IT people.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll put the link up here to this Joker exploit, and you can see it hits you Mac people, too. Sorry, because you guys use the same hardware as we do. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. A couple lines are ringing right now. We'll get Joey to pick those up for you. So get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. And everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. And we are back. You know, I guess we're not worthy of Arctic Monkeys the way Todd's show is. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. They're a good band, too, by the way. Let's go to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Ron in Glastonbury. What's happening, Ron?
Yes, Eric, I'm concerned about something. You know, I have a telephone through the internet.
Yep.
The modem set up to have telephone.
Yes.
Now, paying a considerable amount of money from the internet provider. So I was thinking of going over to the UMA thing, you know, getting the connection.
Sure.
And then drop it down to $6 a month, which is fantastic.
It could be, That's all the taxes, really. Yeah.
Yeah. However, this is something I found out by accident.
Okay.
I had to replace it on my modem. I brought it down there, brought it back. Connected it. I couldn't get although it's set up for the telephone, I couldn't get it to work.
Okay.
And when somebody came over, they said, oh, wait a minute. They called and they said, oh, they hadn't set the switch for telephone. So they did, and everything was working. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, if they can control the telephone, if I say to the internet provider, I don't want telephone anymore.
Right.
And I get the OMA.
Right.
They'll come off the switch. I won't be able to get the OMA to work.
It's kind of funny you say that because we've seen this. So that's basically OMA works off a SIP, SIP, Simple Internet Protocol is what that stands for. And they being internet service providers, can choose to block certain types of protocols. Right. And so we've even seen this in the business world as we're trying to implement voice over IP phone systems for our clients.
We've even seen it with VPN connections.
Yes.
Yes.
So they can block certain technologies. And frankly, I don't think they do it on purpose. They just have misconfigured it. I'm going to chalk it up to incompetence versus purposeful because there's really no reason to block that protocol.
No.
Yes, you're right, Ron. You can find a network switch change can eliminate your ability to make a phone call. And you won't know it, right? Your UMA might be like complaining that it can't get to the internet, so maybe it'll have a warning on its handset that says, "Hey, Ron, I can't see the internet anymore." But you're right, and this is what we deal with every day.
Yes,
we're always dealing with third party issues, and in this case, the internet provider turning off certain protocols. Again, I'm assuming it's just incompetence; it's by accident. They don't do it on purpose. I don't think. I hope.
Yeah, but in other words, if you say to the internet provider, I don't want telephone.
Right.
So you take the telephone, you're down. So then you turn around and buy the UMA thing, connect it up through your
modem. Yeah.
The router. Router.
Yep.
And you can't get telephone because they cut off the switch.
They might do that. I don't think they would bother, but they might do that. And then you're pulling out your hair trying to figure out why UMA's not working, and then you got to go ahead and call and have them turn it back on.
Yeah, but the point is, when you turn it back on, they'll charge you.
No.
They're not going to do that. No.
Okay.
No, they wouldn't do that. They're just gonna allow the protocol to continue to go through so that it can actually communicate with your voice over IP phone, which is UMA. They're not going to charge you.
Yeah, without, in other words, if I say to them, turn the switch back on again, they accidentally said, well, you didn't want telephone, so we set the switch off.
If they do that, then they're being disingenuous. Mm-hmm. Okay, so have you brought your UMA yet?
No, I haven't.
All right. So
what I was really surprised at is when they checked out, I went down and I picked up their replacement because there was some a problem with the modem.
Yeah.
And I brought it back, and it was an exact change.
Yep.
I was getting the telephone.
Right.
And it wouldn't work, and I thought something was wrong with the connection and everything else, and the service person came over. And they had the same problem, and then they talked over the phone, and they said, okay. And I asked the service person as he was leaving, I said, well, what was the problem? He said, they forgot to set the switch.
So there's another thing that could have been going on there, Ron, and that could have been simply your MAC address of your new modem needed to be allowed, because that's how they configure these things, by MAC address. So when you got the new modem, it had a new MAC address. The switch was configured to say Ron at MAC address A, but you brought out a new phone, a new modem, and they didn't let it connect until you called the service, and then the service guy should have known that. So it wasn't that they turned off their phone. It probably just didn't allow that modem to connect to the network.
Okay.
So don't.
You're right. I'm going to attempt to do this.
Yeah, you do it, Ron. You go ahead and get the UMA. And do you already have do you have a cell phone?
Yeah.
Why don't you just turn that whole thing off and just use a cell phone? Why buy an UMA? You have two phone lines then, right?
I have the boss.
I understand.
The boss says,
say no more.
She wants the phone.
Say no more. It's impossible. Trust me. I know. I understand. I know. It took me a long time because we were getting all these messages on our old landline. I'm like, honey, they're calling us here and nobody's answering. So finally we got rid of it. But $6 is better than you're probably paying. What are you paying now? Like $29-$30 for that emulated POTS line, that phone line?
How about $36?
$36.
$36.
Yes.
All right.
That's unreal.
$36 down to $6.
There you go, Ron. At least you've outsmarted the committee a little bit there. That $30, you're $30 richer a month. Which is big numbers.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Eric.
Yeah, good luck, Ron.
Fantastic. I always wait for you guys in the morning.
Well, we appreciate that. We very much do. Thank you for calling in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that's the thing. I mean, I was talking to a business client, right? And so they're looking at, there's two ways you can buy a voice over IP phones. You can rent them monthly forever, or you can do what we do. We sell you a phone system, you pay for it once. And we're sitting down, and the client's got 50 phones, right? And he's like, Eric, yeah, I got a quote for $20 a handset per month. So you can do that math, right? $20 a handset per month. And it sounds just so small, right? It's just $20 a month. And then you look at your phone system and you ask the business owner, so how long has your old phone system been here? Oh, 15 years. And you only paid for it once, right? Yep. And somehow convincing them to pay $20 a month per handset is a good idea times 50 to get a phone? Do the math, guys. You're going to pay $250,000 for your handset or your phone system over 15 years. That's just lunacy. But it's sold constantly. It's mind-boggling. It's, guys, it's $30 here, $20 here, $50 here, times 50, times however. So voice over IP does not have to be a monthly fee. You got to pay for the call path, but the phones themselves and the phone system itself does not have to be an ongoing cost. So, all right, I'm going to go to John, I guess, in Killingworth. Joey, is okay? All right, going to go to John in Killingworth. What's going on, John?
Good morning, Eric. Humbling myself again to admit that I'm still paying an exorbitant amount of money every month to Comcast.
How much?
They finally pushed me over the edge when the bill just went over 200.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Yeah. Luxury car payment levels here. Here we go.
Yeah, and we still don't have that option of is it GoNet
speed? Yeah, GoNet speed. They're not everywhere. You got to keep saying, getting your townsfolk interested.
We'll try. I mean, there's like 6,000 people in this town, so it's, I don't know, it's probably never going to be worth it to them. But, you know, so I'm trying, I guess I'm, you've told me what to do before, but one of the things I'm curious about, even with what we're doing in the house right now, probably a third of the house doesn't really actually even get the Wi-Fi over on that side of the house. So when a guest comes, they're like, oh, I don't have Wi-Fi in my room or whatever.
Right, they're going to you, John. What are you cheaping out? You're not paying enough for your...
No, it's just technically incompetent because I tried doing a Wi-Fi extender up there.
Oh, I know. It doesn't work really well.
Didn't work. No. So, but my, you know, like in back in the old days, and I never actually paid for somebody to come out to the house, but like there used to be like somebody who'd set up a stereo system and they were experts at all that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just wondering, like, so I know you guys have great service for businesses. Is there a person that you can call and say, hey, you know what, I want to like overhaul the equipment, do something a little bit better, and hopefully save some money every month. We have terrible cell service. I'm calling you on the Comcast landline from the house because, believe it or not, if I go one house to the right or one house to the left, it seems to be a little bit better. But right where our house sits, it is not good. So we even hold on to the landline. And I know I've heard you guys talk about voice over IP and all that. And
yeah.
I tried doing the Wi-Fi calling for a little bit. I just still found there were at times delays. So from a business, like work standpoint, sometimes I didn't have the perfect luck with it. So then I gave up, and that was like a couple plus years ago or more. And so, but now once I hit 200, I'm like, this is crazy. So anyways, I'm open to thoughts. And maybe this time, like the dentist finally told me that, you know, you really need to get that electric toothbrush, and I finally bought it today.
Oh, so, yeah, those are the best, John. I'm telling you right now, almost dentists are putting themselves out of business with those things because, man, there's no more cavities when you get that electric toothbrush going. I promise you, you're going to be your hygienist's going to love you too. All right,
she is. Anyways, by the way, and then the water pick, she got me to do that, but I've been pausing for a long time on the brush, but I'm going to try.
All right, you're going to love that. So here's the thing, right? So you're paying way too much, as you know. You need a new router in your home because it needs to be located. Well, basically like the thing that you would worship every day, like your coffee pot, right? It needs to be in the middle of your home.
Yep.
Where is yours now?
It's in the corner, and it just seems to be a wiring issue from down in the basement on how to move it over to where I know it should be. You're right. You're absolutely right. But how to come up through the floor or something or other, that's where I'm struggling
with. That's just a drill. I wouldn't do it either, but there are plenty of people who will do wiring. You want to get a wiring person, so you want to go from your modem in the basement, which is probably fine to leave it there, and run a nice Cat 6 cable to some central spot in your home so that you get better coverage with whatever router you buy. Router, this is not hard stuff, all right? This is almost as easy as an electric toothbrush. You're gonna buy the new router, and you're going to set it up centrally in your home or even where you have it now, but the new router itself is going to have much more broadcast power just due to the current technology. So we're going to put a few links up there for you to try it out.
Okay.
And then once you've got that wireless power you're hoping for and your guests are not, you know, snickering at you, you then can cut cable, right? You do not need to pay for cable television and pay all those franchise fees and all the ESPN channel fees. I mean, you're going to pay somebody for these things, right? You're going to go to YouTube. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That's about $69 unless they're having a fight with somebody, and then it goes down to $49 until they resolve the fight and it goes back to $69. But you're going to pay for 75 channels at $69, and it's a pretty good deal. Or you can go and get there's other solutions out there.
Sling and Hulu TV and some others.
There's plenty. And you're probably already paying for Prime, so you already have access to all sorts of movies and stuff like that, and you already have Netflix. So
we have Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, so get rid of that cable. All you want to do is your internet service needs to be, let's say, for 100 megabits. Do you know what your internet service now is, John?
Originally it started out like a gig, but it is like 200 or something like that.
Okay, so you lowered it down. You lowered it from the gig speed?
I think so, yeah. I think I did at one point, trying to save money, and then they keep jacking it up anyways.
Yep. So you're fine on your internet
speed. But the landline stupid thing is, that throws me too. I get you on the YouTube, and yeah. that would cover a lot of things. I'll probably lose my Nesson. I don't think Nesson's on there.
Yeah, you'll lose that. I'm a little bummed. But you know what? The Red Sox, they had a good season. We didn't expect it. Yeah, listen on 1080. Yeah, it's a good idea. That's what Joey said. Listen on 1080. They did have a good season near the end, so I did miss all the wait. I didn't waste any time on the season and only was able to watch them in the playoffs, and that was actually worked pretty well.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So in terms of a landline or a line, I mean, just a phone line that I can trust.
Yeah, voice over IP works fine. You need to trust that. It does work fine.
So what would you hook up with the YouTube service to try to do? I mean, you're saying voice over internet probably again, though, right?
We're saying UMA is a way to do it if you wanted a phone, or you would just get better configure your cell phone to do cell phone wireless, you know, the Wi-Fi calling over cell phone, and just trust that. You're paying an arm and a leg for that. What basically Comcast is doing emulated POTS. They're not. It is actually voice over IP. You don't even really. It's not the same protocol, but they're emulating it because you don't have a copper line going in there. You're going over the cable line.
You're right. I know it's not the old fashioned phone line.
Yeah. So you just gotta trust it. That's the only solutions for you. UMA or using your cell phone over Wi-Fi because your cellular coverage is bad where you are. Upgrade the router.
What is UMA really then in comparison to Wi-Fi calling? What's the difference?
They're going to be hard. The little base will be more hardwired unless you do a wireless handset, and then you're speaking wireless to the base, which is speaking over a wire or wireless to the device. So it's a lot of hops around, depending on how it is. But it can be connected hardwired. I think UMA does have a hardwired jackable Cat's, you know, 5 base if you wanted to. But it's just voice over IP, and voice over IP has been around forever. And I think that's where you need to start going and save some money here.
Okay.
You can do it, John. You can do it. You're brushing your teeth better. Let's get better internet.
Later. Thank you. I believe you.
Your question on the service, though, is another problem, right? So we've been in this business for about 40 years, and companies have come and gone, like CompUSA's and all these companies that tried to promise that consumer, you know, hey, we'll help you out, you know, quote-unquote geek squads and stuff like that. I wouldn't be able to quote recommend anybody. I have recommended Staples for folks to bring their stuff into a store when you have issues with your home PC because they kind of tend toward business, and I'm hoping that the quality of their geeks are better than average. But finding a local store or a local person to come out to your home, it's going to be pricey, right? It's going to be costly to have someone out there and sit with you for hours and configure your stuff. You really need to learn it. You know what I mean? We really need as a society to understand how this crap works sooner rather than later, and we all need to. So, you know, it's not that complicated, and we figured out microwaves, but we never figured out the VCR. You had the 12 o'clock flashers. That was hard. That's why TiVo came along. But we all need to kind of get a better understanding, so don't be afraid of it.
You're raising one question for me, though. This whole, you know, so cable, obviously, we got the cable wiring in here, unfortunately, like I said, it comes into the corner of the house on the main floor.
Right.
But so if I'm going to go with YouTube, it's still going to come in. So dumb.
It's okay.
Is it going to come in over cable? I mean,
yes.
Here's the dumb question. So yeah, I mean, are we still using like the Comcast wiring cable
yes.
in a way?
You're not. Yeah, it's not a dumb question. It's a good question because people say cut the cord. They really mean cut cable TV. You're going to have to pay for internet, and that is going to come over via cable for you.
Right.
So you're going to pay for internet service.
Cable. Okay.
Same cable.
And then I need to wire it so that I bring it over towards a central location and kind of bring it up to the floor to a better spot.
Right. And then your smart TV is going to connect to your wireless device and broadcast. You're going to connect your TV is either going to be smart itself and capable of doing these things, or you're going to buy an NVIDIA Shield, which I recommend as your streaming device, or a Roku, or you can name all sorts of devices out there to go ahead and get TV to your TV content, the YouTube TV content to your screen.
Right. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yep. Because we do have that. Right. You're right. We've got the little modem right next to the TV and all the Comcast equipment. Okay.
Yeah. That'll all go back. You're going to save. You're going to be able to bundle it up.
Right.
And give it all back.
$30 in equipment right now. It's crazy.
$30 in equipment. Yeah. Just for the clickers, right? Just for the channel changing capabilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's crazy, man.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope we helped. And let us know how you do, John. You got to check in. I mean, if we talked about this 3 years ago, I don't want to get a call in 3 years and say you haven't cut the cable. Let us know how you did.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. So he's got something to do on this cold Saturday morning, right?
That's right.
He's going to save a ton of money.
Yeah.
Be able to take his wife out for dinner more often. I mean, she'll like that. Happy wife, happy life. Everyone wins if you cut the cable, right? So we're going to be, we want to thank you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. I want to thank Joey for producing. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And I want to thank, of course, Dennis Houghton for coming back. And I'm not solo like I was last week. That's really good. Everything we talked about is posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. So go ahead and check it out if you missed anything. All the articles are there for you guys. And stick around. Dr. Alessi is going to be here next with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We'll see you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.